How many words should your child be saying? What can cause language to be delayed? Your child is not born with all the language waiting to come out.
Children who use gesture early have got stronger indicators of language outcomes.
In order for something to be classed as a first word, your child has to be saying it consistently. We no longer live in communities, no longer have our village, we're often very isolated.
Once children get about 50 words, you see a language boom.
Are there social things here? Am I suspecting that this might be autism?
But what would you be looking for a language delay?
Hey everyone, before we get started, if you've got a second, Tess and I would really appreciate it if you could hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. It makes a big difference for us as we're developing this podcast, and it just lets you know when our new episodes are released. Thank you. Kia ora and welcome to the You've Got This podcast with Zazie and Tess. Tess and I are speech and language therapists with a combined 18 years working in the field with children and their whānau, so we know a thing or two about what makes them tick.
We want to empower you to know exactly what you can do to support your child's development. We're going to be touching on all of the important topics that you want to hear about, from speech and language development to managing tricky behaviours or supporting your little one to transition to school.
You can even request episodes that you want to hear more on. Just head to our Instagram at You've Got This Podcast. We'd absolutely love your support over on Patreon. Head to You've Got This, where we'll be offering extra episodes and unique resources that we've created to support you on your journey.
We like to have a bit of a laugh and keep it real, so thanks for listening. We're over the moon to have you along for the ride.
Tell me, I've seen your stories. You've had a bit of a day.
Oh my gosh, it has. I've got all sorts of like things to tell you, actually. So it has been a day. I don't know, my kids woke up and they seemed on the right side of bed. I got a bit of a lie-in. I had a late night last night after attending my nana's funeral via video link. And John was up with the kids and they were fine. And then he fed them breakfast, which is normally what they require in order to be human children. And that made them worse.
That's a usual routine, I would say.
Yeah. And they just sort of like spiral, and everyone was so dysregulated. And John and I just kept looking at each other being like, nothing is working. We're putting them outside. We're giving them activities. We're giving them stuff. We're trying to calm down. We're reading books. It was just like nothing was stopping people from being impulsive. We're like, right, we're getting out of the house. But Etta tonight, when I went to put her to bed, like 6:15, I was like, do you want a story? And she's like, no. She just turned her light off and got into bed in the dark, which is like never happens. And I was like,
this adult?
And I was like, do you want to, normally she has her little Tony Box thing, a little music player. I was like, do you want to listen to a story or listen to some Hozier? And she was like, no. I was like, do you want me to go or stay? She was like, just stay. And I just lay there in the dark, and within 5 minutes she was asleep. And I was like, okay, this is the strangest.
Strange. Do you think maybe a little growth spurt is coming?
I don't know. Just both they were both a bit broken today, but hey, look, we just roll with it. Hopefully tomorrow for a better day. But what I was going to tell you, since our last chat last week about speech sounds, right? You know, we were talking about my kids having that quirky L sound being an NG.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Lots becomes knots. NGOTS. Augie is like self-fixed himself, I want to say like 85 to 90% of the time.
And wow. Was he self-correcting or just come right?
He's self-correcting, and also it just has come right for like the most part. And it's wild because obviously I've modeled it lots and he's been aware, and I've praised when he's practiced, I've praised when he's said it or copied me or whatever. But you know, there's nothing more than that. And then it was just like something in his age stage has clicked, and all new words are coming through with an accurate L, and most of his old words he's managing to say correctly with an accurate L. It's only some blends that are like falling off. But I was like, oh my goodness, this is so insane to witness that things are better, you know?
It works. Do you think it was from your repeatedly recasting? Or it's just
Do you think he listens to the podcast?
Yeah. What the hell, August? August, if you're listening, blink twice.
Yeah, okay. So today we're going to talk about language development. So it sounds like you just have to get your child to listen to the podcast and they might just self-correct. But no, today we're going to talk about how many words should your child be saying? And when we talk about words, we're talking about language development, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To be honest, I'm embarrassed to admit this as a speech therapist, but it took me 2 years of university to fully understand the difference between speech and language. I actually am not joking you. We took papers in speech and articulation, and we took papers and language development, and I didn't really click until my second year of uni really what it was.
And then it doesn't really properly kick in until you're working with children, right? And you get to see it
yeah.
firsthand. But last week we talked about speech sounds. So speech is the sounds that we make when we're talking. So whether cat sounds like tat, you know. But language is the fact that you've got the word at all. So language is the fact yeah. that you have the word cat. Speech is if you don't say cat correctly. So today we're yeah. talking about language, what to expect in your child's language development. Understand what can cause language to be delayed, what red flags to look out for with your child's development yeah. and whether they're developing at the right time. And we want to give you some strategy. So there's a whole lot in this one. So like strap in mm-hmm. because this is often what I get asked about the most. I get asked about this all the time. I did have a parent reach out to me recently saying that she's got an 18-month-old who started using words like mama and dada but hasn't really gone much further than that. She mm-hmm. almost felt that her little one was pointing more and showing more interest in showing her things and now is doing less of that. And we okay. know that language isn't just about talking and the words that you have. We're going to talk about, you know, everything that language encompasses. So
obviously our episode last week, we spoke about speech delays, more so on like red flags to look out for if you feel as though your child's speech isn't developing appropriately. But what would you be looking for a language delay?
Yeah, you can't have a speech delay if you don't have any language, right? So
yeah.
the suggestion that if your child has a speech delay, it suggests that they've got some language, they've got some words that they're not saying quite correctly.
But you can have a speech and language delay.
You can have them together.
What is a language delay? I would probably describe it as when a child is not developing as many words or as many gestures, maybe a lack of understanding of language, so they're not able to follow instructions, or if you say, pass me the ball, they're not able to understand that. So it would be a receptive language, example of receptive language, or an expressive language delay, or how they use their language would be, they might understand a lot, but they're not able to communicate much back. So you can see there's a real big difference in what they're understanding and what they're communicating. And normally a delay would be something that is following what we'd call a typical trajectory. So they're following the steps that we would expect them to follow, but they're just behind their peers or their siblings. Whereas a disorder would be, so a language disorder would be when the language isn't following those milestones. It's not just behind, but it's got a very different profile to what we'd expect children to have.
The general rule of thumb, right, is that we say that by the time a child is one, we expect them to be using at least one word, at least a few single words. Mm-hmm. And by the time a child is two, we expect them to be using two words together or combining words. So that's like a ballpark of where we expect our children to be. Actually, the average of what a 12-month-old is doing, a one-year-old, is that they're saying around five single words by 12 months. And by 18 months, the average child, you know, 50% of children who are 18 months are saying around 50 single words. But by 18 months, that could also be as low as 10. But what we want to see is a trajectory, right? We want to see that
yeah.
a child goes from learning one or two words and is constantly building on that repertoire and is constantly going in the right direction to adding more words to their vocabulary. And it would be of concern if your little one is only using a couple of words and you're not seeing any growth on that.
And if you've listened to our Gestalt Language Processing podcast, you would know that your child may have one clear word or a couple of clear words, but also be using a lot of long strings of sounds that are kind of hard for you to understand. They might be humming or singing sentences, you know, repeating phrases that with intonation that they've seen on shows, but they might also have then a couple of single words in there. Is also a typical language profile, but we'd want to see language continue to build, as you said, Zaz.
Yeah.
And we spoke briefly about gesture, and I think gesture is super important to talk about because gesture develops around 9 months old. So that is like the pointing skills, you know, me getting stuck on what gestures were last time. Pointing is the only one I can think of. But, you know, you talk a lot about baby sign, Makaton, mm-hmm. New Zealand Sign Language, British Sign Language. So we are modelling single signs, or you have been, and parents mm-hmm. who probably follow your page have been modelling the use of gesture, which is sign language, from a very, very young age. And children who use gesture early have got stronger indicators of language outcomes. So mm-hmm. Children can often use gesture before they can use speech sounds because it's easier to control your hand than it is all of your articulators, which is those speech sounds.
Yeah, we say that signing is like the bridge between not being able to say what you want to say and saying what you want to say. Can you imagine? We know that receptive language, that's understanding of language, develops way before expressive language, the language that you can say. So imagine starting to understand some words and then knowing that you want to say them, but not your mouth not being developed enough to say it. It must be so frustrating. No wonder our kids kind of lose it. The sign is the bridge between that. So if you can teach your little one to gesture or to sign what they want, then they're less likely to be frustrated. And sign is classed as a first word. If your little one can sign more, milk, thirsty, food, you know, any of those sort of core typical first signs, mum, then that is classed as a first word, as is animal noises, which people are often surprised by.
Yeah, that is surprising.
So if you're thinking about what has my child started talking, what counts as a first word? It isn't your child babbling da 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 as they play. And people, I often see parents be like, oh my gosh, they're saying dad, they're saying daddy, or you know, having all that hope that they would be. But in order for something to be classed as a first word, it has to be in context, like saying da 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 when dad comes in the room or they see a picture of dad, not just babbling it as they play. They have to say it independently, you know, not copying you when you say it, and do it more than once. In order for it to be a first word, it has to be all those things. So animal noises can be that. If you've modeled moo for your kid and then they see a cow and they now consistently say moo, that's a word. They're telling you, I know what that is. It's what you've said. And I now know how to say that. And I'm saying it. Sign language counts. And some children, you know, struggle to start talking or start using their articulators to say words orally, but can point to a picture or use AAC.
Yes, they can.
So being able to point to an AAC board, being able to point to a picture consistently to say what you want, that is also classed as a first word.
Fab. Going back to your example of the da-da-da-da, if your child is doing that, you absolutely can attribute meaning. So you can say, oh, you've said daddy, dad, this is dad. You know, put it in context. Point dad out, point mum out. That will help them to apply those sounds to the language and to understand, that is dad.
That's a great strategy. That's so good to remember. There's lots of reasons why kids can have a language delay. So first and foremost, I mean, we sound like stuck records, but you need to check your little one's hearing.
Yeah.
We will talk about this until the cows come home. Ear infections can be incredibly sneaky. Children can be struggling to hear without us even realizing. Obviously, it's much more difficult to pick up on language and what people are saying. But also, language is more frequently delayed now because of the busyness of a modern life. You know, we no longer live in communities, no longer have our village. We're often very isolated.
Yeah.
Modern life is busy. Both parents are working. You know, this crazy cost of living, parents having to work more than ever. There's less time for parents to stop and play and connect. We're having to use screens more to survive.
I think there's less of an understanding of the importance of play, or just it just doesn't seem to happen as much, as you said, for those reasons. But they get their language from the language models around them. So it is really important as a parent to be like modeling.
It is really easy to forget. I think because all of the skills we're waiting for, you know, like walking is on the developmental pathway. You're waiting for a child to get to the point of walking and crawling and all those things. Those things are like internally in them. Your child is not born with all the language waiting to come out. We literally have to teach every single word that they say. And when you stop and remember that, you're like, wow, that's such a big job. Like I really do have to be a teacher of all of these words. They're not just going to come out when they're ready. I have to put them in there.
Another reason for lack of language progress could also be seizure activity. And I don't want to raise huge alarms, but it is just something to be mindful for. If your child seems to be dazing, you know, looking dazed very frequently, so we'd call it a mini mouse, or sort of like kind of tapping out and tapping back in, that might be a sign. You know, if you're seeing unusual physical behavior, that also might be a sign. So I just think, do keep it in mind. It's very, very rare, but it is something to be mindful of. And it's something that at our school, is really quite common. Also, a lot of, well, at our school, so I'm just speaking from our experience here, but a fair few of our students do develop epilepsy at adolescence as well. So if you're seeing a reduction of skills at that age even, do keep that in mind.
That's so interesting. I just don't know a whole lot about that. I've never heard about that. That's scary almost. I'm just going to read out some things that we'd expect. We're going to put a bit of a document out on this, but just, you know, for those listening, between the ages of 12 and 18 months, what we would typically expect from a little one when it comes to their understanding, we'd want them to understand about 20 to 100 words. Like, you can see on their face that they're picking up what you're putting down. They're getting a sense of what you're talking about in the environment around them. They're following simple instructions like, go and get your shoes. They're able to recognize some names of some body parts, perhaps. They're paying attention to the books that you're reading them, you know, showing interest or having some favorite stories. They might understand simple questions like, where's Teddy, and being able to follow through and kind of answer that by pointing or showing you. And they might be starting to enjoy some pretend play, like talking on a phone.
You mentioned books there, Zaz, and we actually haven't spoken about, really, on our podcast about the importance of reading and literacy and how literacy develops language. So we will be talking about strategies soon, but really I would be encouraging families to be reading from the day that the baby is born. It's super important. You can get lots of different adapted books that are going to grab their interest. So when they're newborns, they might be black and white books because they're not able to see colours yet. And then you can get, you know, those touchy-feely books, books that get their interest. And just making sure you are doing shared reading. It's so, so important for developing language. And it's where you get a lot of less frequency words. So when we're talking to our children throughout the day, we're usually using a lot of like verbs, like action words, like go, stop. And then we might be using some adjectives like, you know, it's hot, it's cold. But it's within books is where you really get rich vocabulary that you wouldn't often be speaking about. So cannot stress it enough.
Also, like, things that aren't in your environment, like, you're not seeing a lion, are you?
Yeah.
There's no lions lying around where you're living, so that's not where that language would be learned. And I always say this to people, if you were learning a new language, say you were learning Japanese or you were learning Welsh.
Welsh.
You would want to see a picture of what someone was, of a word someone was trying to teach you. You'd want to kind of get a visual on that. Yeah.
Not flashcards. We're not talking flashcards. Yeah,
not flashcards at all, but you'd want to see. So books are often very, very visual. And if you can't see the item, you can kind of see where the story is tracking and get a sense of what is happening in the story. Books, as many as you can.
Books
is... Read some books. I've got a strategy for that at the end. Anyway, when it comes to expressive language, what are we expecting a 12 to 18 month old to be doing? Typically, I'd expect them to use about 10 to 50 words and know some animal sounds.
I'm just cutting in here all the time. Two ADHD people trying to podcast together.
Desperate, yeah.
We also have expect the same milestones for AAC users. So for AAC users, for everybody, once children get about 50 words, you see a language boom. And that's when they start combining two or more words together. So when you're looking at AAC as well, we're also looking to get to that magic number of about 50 single words before we're really starting to focus on putting two keywords together and sentences. So if your little one is an AAC user, which is alternative communication systems, don't feel pressure that you have to be modeling sentences. You can just be modeling single words for quite a while. This is assuming that they are analytic language processors. Again, if you listen to our gestalt processing pod, you'd understand what that means. So those are for the learners who are learning single words and then building up from that. Gestalt language processors will have slightly different strategies, but yes, sorry for interrupting.
No worries. So 10 to 50 words. We'd expect a 12 to 18 month old to be initiating words and sounds frequently, like they're kind of going out of their way to make noises at you, towards you, to be looking like they're trying to say things.
And trying to imitate, so if you're saying words, they might be saying them back, because that's them sort of trying to add it to their memory bank, get the articulators wrapped around the word.
Getting familiar people's attention by saying their name. You might be hearing more names being said. And we'd expect them to be pointing to things and showing you things that they're interested in and trying to include you in their play. And this is a real key one, isn't it? When we come to talk about some red flags tests that your child might be developing and learning differently, is that the ability, it's called joint attention. So joint attention is when your little one is wanting to see whether their parent is seeing the same thing as they're seeing.
If you're seeing fireworks and you're looking at the fireworks and your little one is looking back at you, then looking back at the fireworks to sort of reference that you're both looking, you're both attending to that same experience. Joint attention's super important.
So even just pointing is joint attention, because for a child to point, to be like, look at this, it's suggesting that they're wanting you to look at it and engage with it. But where things are very different is where if a little one is sort of pointing at something just to get something, or taking you towards something just to use you as a tool in order to pick that thing up, it's showing that potentially your little one isn't trying to engage in joint attention with you. They're not maybe so interested in whether you're looking at it or engaged with it as well. They are looking as a means to getting that thing.
Yeah. And we do have a few things that we'd be looking at as speech and language therapists in terms of looking at the social communication skills and the language skills. So that joint attention, that pointing, that pulling, that's kind of like a social skill. And there's a few other social skills that we'd be expecting children to be doing by that age. As you said, that you're expecting eye contact, you're expecting gesture, you're expecting responding to your initiation. So if you're doing something silly, you're expecting that laughter, you're expecting them to try and want to get that again, so they might laugh again or try and make the sound back. So they're really wanting those extended two-way interactions. If you're not seeing that, that could be an indication that there's some difficulties with their social communication skills. Other examples of difficulties with social communication skills may be that they're not making eye contact very frequently. They may prefer to spend time alone, or only spend time with you for very short periods. Their general emotional regulation might be low, so they might present as a very sad or agitated or anxious child. That would be an indication that some difficulties maybe with their regulation and their social communication. And as you said, using adults as tools so they see you as a cause and effect to get what they want rather than you as a social communication partner. And that paired with other language features, which might be that they have delayed expressive language, so they're not using much spoken language, or maybe even delayed receptive language, so they're not really understanding what you're communicating to them. Possibly a reduction in skills. So that is another sign that there might be something going on with their social communication. And when we're talking about social communication, we are talking about things such as autism. So some autistic children have been known to lose skills at around 18 months to 2 years of age. A lot of people panicked for a period that was due to vaccinations. A lot of the research / all of the research shows us that it's not because of vaccinations. It is quite common in children who are autistic, and we don't 100% know why, but some of the theories are that once you're two, you become a bit more aware of the social world. And if the social world is causing anxiety for you, because you're not understanding what the facial expression is telling us, we're not understanding what people are doing, it's not as innate for us, it's not as ingrained to read those cues, the shared social world becomes really anxiety inducing, and we might start to drop off access to those areas of language. So we have spoken in our previous pods about regulation and accessing those areas of the brain, and if that anxious fight, flight, or freeze is kind of taking over, you're not able to access as much language as you did, and that can look like a reduction in skills.
That's so interesting. I've never stopped to consider why that might be happening, but if I was just hashing it out with someone and we didn't know, I guess that's what it would all, I'd sort of guess at, that it would boil down to, hey.
Yeah, there's other theories, of course, but I think that is the one that I understand most, or I align with most, perhaps. But also, a reduction can also indicate ear infection. So get your ears checked. We said books, 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 but we also say ears, ears, ears.
So I mean, to be really raw and honest about it, what are we doing as speech therapists when we're meeting a new family and we're going into a situation? As a whole, I am chatting with the family and sort of assessing, I guess, through conversation, whether I think that a family are connecting with their little one and they're talking, if the child is growing up in a language-rich environment with lots of connection. I'm looking into whether a child is hearing correctly and that they've had a hearing assessment, and I'm looking for all of those signs that we've previously talked about, or whether a child has a sneaky ear infection or it's something that fluctuates for them. I'm then looking for, you know, if both of those things are looking fine and dandy, my next step is thinking, are there social things here? Am I suspecting that this might be autism, and that a child is struggling to learn language because there's other social things at play? Is that the pathway that your brain goes when it comes to assessment of children?
I think we'll put up a little visual of the communication pyramid. It's a very nice way of understanding what skills sort of precede others or what need to be really secure for the next skill to be developing nicely. So the first thing I'd be looking at is attention and listening skills. Mm. Are they aware that you're in their environment? Are they responding to you? Are they looking over? That is also social, but I'm thinking about shared attention. So are you getting that engagement with that child that they know that you're in the room, essentially, that you're looking at one another, and then your joint attention, looking at those listening skills. And then I'd be looking at the social communication and play skills. For us to develop language, we generally need to be quite socially driven. As you said, Zaz, that's how we develop language, is through those language models from other people. So if we're missing that social drive, we can be missing a lot of the other skills, which is your understanding and your use of language, that come a little bit later on. So I'd be looking at social communication and play skills. Are they interested in exploring the world? Do they like different textures? Do they do cause and effect play? Are they using items for their intended purpose? Again, if this is all new information to you, have a listen to our play pod. This will all explain. That will all be explained there. But looking at, the social piece. And then I'd be looking at, are they understanding spoken language? Are they understanding facial expression? Are they understanding gesture? As I said earlier, you know, where's the ball? Do they identify items? Do they identify concepts? So can I find the big one? Where's the big one? Where's the little one? Where's the yellow one? And then we'd be looking at how they're using their language. So what words are they using? What gestures are they using? And then right at the very, very top would be speech, sounds, and fluency. So what sounds are they using to say the words that they're wanting to say? Do they sound typical? You know, are they following the
so many steps before speech sounds?
So many steps.
So many steps before speech sounds. I'll never forget being sent a video by a worried mum saying, I think their language is delayed and I don't really know what to do. And we're so privileged to be in this position where we are naturally assessing every child that we witness, just because that's
every, how we've been trained. Every person I speak to, I'm like, what's going on with your speech?
Yes, I'm noticing some social differences.
Social communication differences, yeah.
You're mirroring my social differences. And I just remember seeing a little one who was being spoken to but wasn't hearing, wasn't interested in what parents were saying, wasn't interested in what parents were doing. This is a little one just doing their own thing in their own space with a parent present. And yes, they were able to make this child laugh at certain times and like find moments of connection, but for the most part, this was a child in kind of in their own world, doing their own thing.
On what you were saying about them being sort of maybe in their own space or in their own world, have you heard of the te reo Māori word for autism?
I absolutely have. It's like taki watanga.
That sounds better than what I would have been able to pronounce. Yeah, and I really love this description. It's my his or her own time and space. So sometimes our autistic little ones, they're in their own time, they're in their own space. And that's just like a nice summary, I suppose.
I think, it is a beautiful word, taki watanga, to say that they are doing their own thing. Yep. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. We are fully aware that this is a huge topic and it's a lot to listen to. It's a lot of information to take on about, you know, knowing where your child is in with their milestones or where they're expected to be. And sometimes just the word autism being present in a conversation or thinking about it can be really anxiety inducing for some parents. We're not going to leave it here. There's going to be a part two to this episode because we really want to talk about some strategies that you could get started with that could really help. So stick around because there's going to be more. There's more to this.
There's more to come. We're not here to...
There's more to come.
...create panic and fear, but we don't want to make a really long episode that kind of covers everything because it's just such a big topic. So stick with us. Subscribe so you are alerted to our next episode that comes up, which will be all about the strategies to support your little one's language development and strategies to support their social communication as well.
So over on Patreon right now, there's going to be a resource that's going to talk about ages and stages, sort of from 6 months until 2 years, what you'd expect of a little one in their language, what you'd expect to see. Remember, you've got this.